The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. From the prophet Isaiah, we hear the words of God, "I am doing a new thing. Do you perceive it?" Not always. I have a kind of a beef with the Christian music industry. And I'm going to get in my bully pulpit now and rant a little bit. I've got a beef with the Christian music industry. In fact, actually, all industries that start with Christian music or Christian movies or Christian, you know what? I got a beef with this, and it's not. I have a lot of beefs, and if you like Christian radio or if you listen to it, wonderful. I'm really, really trying not to poo-poo it too much. But my beef is actually in the title, Christian Music or Christian Movies, because what it seems to insinuate is that something that is not played on a Christian radio station or a movie that is not played on a channel that shows Christian movies, that anything that's not in those is unchristian, right? It's this kind of classic divide. I think sometimes in those industries you'll hear, we don't play secular music, right? So we have this divide between what is Christian and what is secular, or what is sacred and what is profane. And that's an old distinction. And it drives me crazy, because I do believe just wholeheartedly that Bohemian Rhapsody or Vivaldi's Spring or Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, you're not going to hear those on the Christian radio station, but I think when we hear those things, we are rubbing shoulders with the divine, right? I mean, who can hear Bohemian Rhapsody and not think, I have just been transported? It's beautiful. One of my favorite artists, who's Lutheran, and I love her music. Her name is Rachel Kurtz. She does a lot of music with kids and with youth, and I've gotten to know her from time to time. I have so much respect for her. She's got the most beautiful voice. But I think she fell into this trap at one point. She has a song that she sings when she's doing youth gatherings and things, and what she did was she took Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. You know that song, "I heard there was a secret chord that Jesus played and David played and he pleased the Lord." Oh, again, I think when you hear this song, it's like, you're just being transported to heaven. It's so beautiful. But it doesn't say the word Jesus in it, even though I sung that. It talks about David. It talks about minor chords, right? You know this one, right? Everybody knows it. And so what she did is she wanted to make it more Christian friendly, I guess. And so she wrote new verses to it. And it tells the story of Jesus and the disciples and Easter and the resurrection. And that's fine. But this tendency to believe that that God only shows up in the holy places or the explicit places, I think is an old one. It's the same dynamic that I think we find in our gospel reading. And it's the same dynamic that Paul's wrestling with, too, in his letter to the Philippians. This urge to have to show up correctly, to have to show up in overtly holy ways. And Paul calls that rubbish, by the way. If you were at Bible study, you know that Paul calls it a little bit stronger of a word than just rubbish, right? But this tendency is present, I think, for Judas. Now, forget this line about Judas being a thief, right? Just kind of set that aside. This tendency of Judas, I think, is maybe a valid one, right? Mary comes to the feet of Jesus and opens this expensive perfume. And you've got to understand, this is extravagant. This is lavish. This is over the top. 300 denarii. One denarii is one day's wage. So 300 denarii, you take out 52 Sabbaths and maybe a couple weeks of vacation. It's about a year's worth of, Mark's laughing. Who gets vacation in the ancient world? You get about 300 denarii, right? That's about a year's worth of wages. And she's pouring these wages on Jesus' feet of all places. She's pouring out this expensive, lavish stuff on a guy who is talking about the reality that probably in about 2 weeks' time, he will be dead. She's pouring out this beautiful thing onto these stinky feet. And I gotta say, if you've ever wrestled with this kind of sacred and profane, or should I be doing these things and not these things? Should I be listening to Christian radio, not Bohemian Rhapsody? Like, you know this kind of inner tension. That I think Judas has kind of a point. And if we belonged to a God who only dwelt in the holy places, if we belonged to a God who doesn't like the profane and doesn't want to mingle there, then I think Jesus would have said, yeah, Mary, stand up, put the cap on that, sell it, and let's feed some more people. But instead, Jesus does this very mysterious thing. He says, no, leave her alone. She understands something that you don't. This perfume is mingling with the scent in the room. And we hear that it overwhelms the scent in the room. And you got to remember, this is all taking place in the house of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has just been raised from the dead like weeks prior. If you're ever looking for a wonderfully irreverent read, check out Christopher Moore's book, Lamb, L-A-M-B, Lamb, you know Lamb. It's, the subtitle is The Gospel According to Biff, Jesus' Childhood Best Friend. And it is hilarious. It is irreverent. And your pastor didn't tell you to go out and read it, because there's, talk about profanity, there is some language. But it's wonderful. And Biff is a made-up character, of course. But Biff says of this scene with Lazarus, he says, you know, it was wonderful when Jesus raised our buddy Lazarus. Oh, it was incredible. And Lazarus came out just as surprised as all the rest of us. But, you know, he never quite smelled the same after that. I love that line. He never quite smelled the same. If you know anything about bodies who sit at room temperature for 4 days, you know, decomposition does have kind of a smell. And Lazarus was in that tomb for 4 days, and he never quite smelled the same afterwards. And so here we have Lazarus, the scent of death and resurrection in the room. We have Jesus talking about death right there. And then we have this beautiful ointment poured out, mingling, interchanging with the scent, with the aura in the room. If we believed in a God who needed things to stay holy, we wouldn't see this kind of odorous interchanging. But instead, we follow Jesus, who in a couple of weeks is going to end up in the most profane place imaginable. The cross to us is a sign of resurrection and life, but the cross to Jesus' people was a sign of the absolute last place that you would find God. It is the place where criminals go. It is the place where people who listen to Bohemian Rhapsody go. It is not a nice place, and it is certainly the last place that we would expect to find God. And yet, that's where we're headed. We belong to a God who understands that beauty, art, poetry, life, all of these things are wrapped up in the goodness of God. One psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." We don't have to listen to just Christian music to get a sense of bumping elbows with the divine, because we find God on the cross. Isaiah says, "I'm doing a new thing," says the Lord. This is that new thing. Do you perceive it? Amen.